It's time for the True Sports Card Show, the only one-hour radio show that gives you the very latest in sports memorabilia news from around the world. Here are your hosts, industry expert Imran Palati.
Hold up, Jay. Hold up, bro. I took over. Yeah, I know. People are like, where's Drapes and Whitey? What are we doing here?
You know, we were just talking in the hallway with Emil, and he said, doesn't look like there's any trades happening with Debo. But speaking of trades, tomorrow is trade night.
Yeah.
At True Sports Cards at the Galleria. Imran is with us. Yeah. Who's out there with you tomorrow? You got the Tank Thompson?
That's right. LaSalle Thompson will be joining us. I love me some. Oh, he's got my jam going on. This is one that's going in my head lately. It's the Good Side by Crash Adams.
Oh.
I got to tell you something. I love Nate behind the window for us as our producer.
Yeah.
But Jay is...
He's good.
I was watching him mix it on the other side of the window. I was like, this guy is incredible.
He's working back there.
He's
grinding. Like, yeah, he's not just sitting enjoying the show.
And I want to apologize to you for Jay saying, where's my Jay Will jersey?
Yeah, I know.
You probably get that a lot, don't you?
Especially from producers of radio shows.
Jay Will, baby, the sauce.
I will just chocolate. Say, here's the biggest difference that I noticed. So Nate starts the fishing show at 3:30 in the morning here on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then we have our show at 10. So by the time that I get Nate, the dude is cooked.
Sure.
So I got an afternoon show with lively people here.
Right.
And it's just a little bit different energy.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, thanks for coming in. It's great to...
My pleasure.
I spent a lot of time at the store last week.
Yep.
Great thing about your store, just, you know, the time I spent there Saturday, it's so interactive and you got people in there and they're going through cards. And,
yeah.
You know, it's not like a library where, don't touch anything. And the kids are going through cards and adults are in there looking and people coming in and they bring stuff for you and you look at it and... You know, it's really seemed like an easy process. You're like, oh, what do you want for it? All right, how about this? And so just everybody out there was having a really good time.
Yeah, you came in during a busy time. The difference between you and Kyle is that you come during open hours and Kyle hits me up for his private tour, almost like a...
That was one time.
VIP.
One time.
You only need one time in order for it to burn into your brain that it happened. Let's talk about it.
Was that Christmas Eve?
It was Christmas Eve.
Like 8 p.m.?
Yeah, it
was. No, like 10 o'clock. He's like, listen, I'm going to be barbecuing. I got a few minutes to sneak over. Do you mind coming out?
Oh, yeah, I was
like,
smoker.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything.
Going. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's only Christmas Eve with my family, but sure.
You had your kid with you and everything. He was sick, too, I think.
Yeah,
like,
and
you met me
boy?
At the shop,
I
man.
Did.
But that's customer service right there. That's why I enjoy coming to your shop. And I got my son... signed Iverson jersey.
That's right.
There.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
I might eat that.
Yeah.
I might eat me one of those.
Right. Well, listen, I mean, that's exciting to know. On the radio, you've publicly declared that you waited till the last minute to pick that up for your son.
No. Let's go back real quick and tell the story. I got my daughter something big, and then me and my daughter pranked my son.
Oh,
we bought him a gift card, and we put it in this huge box. But it was just a gift card. But we put it in this huge box, and it was under the tree, and he's shaking it. He's like, oh, I think I saw on YouTube it was a signed memorabilia that came in a box this big. And it's Christmas Eve, and I'm like, this dude going to be so upset when it's a $25 Amazon gift card. So I texted him, Ron, and he hooked me up. So
wow.
You saved it, man.
Nice.
You saved
You're welcome.
It. I appreciate
you
it.
You saved Christmas.
He
yes,
really
I
did.
Was.
He would have been so disappointed with the $25 gift
save
card.
Christmas.
Yeah.
How about Caleb Williams? We were just talking about the fact, I know you overheard or you were listening, that he set a record, one day merchandise record. Is he the next guy? Is the hobby starting to get crazy for Caleb?
I'll tell you, the interesting part about it is that they set him up for success, that's for sure. Mm. To pick up that wide receiver at the nine spot, and you already had Keenan Allen, and you already had DJ Moore, you got Cole Kmet. Like, offensively, he's in great shape. That division's going to be tough, though, to come out of. You've got Minnesota, which is on the up and coming. We'll see if McCarthy starts. You've got
Lions.
You've got the Lions, and you've got the Packers.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a tough division to come out of. If they go 8-8 in year one, I think that 17 games.
Yeah,
now.
17 now.
8-9, 9-8, I think that's a successful first year for Caleb.
But is there a market for his stuff already? Is
absolutely.
It developing?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, absolutely. There's a unique situation with cards right now. The main manufacturer of cards is a company called Panini. And they have a very exclusive agreement with the NFL to produce licensed trading cards. Mm-hmm. The problem is that Fanatics is going to take over in 2 years. So it's almost like a lame duck contract for a coach. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what Panini is for the next 2 years. Fanatics is going to take over. Michael Rubin, the billionaire, and all that. So what they're doing, Fanatics is doing right now, is locking up these guys to exclusive autograph contracts. So there is
like Wemby, right?
Like Wemby.
Panini's doing that now?
No.
Or Fanatics is. Okay.
So there's going to be no Caleb Williams autographs in any of the 24 products.
Panini sets.
Correct.
Yeah, all right.
So imagine trying to buy cards at $400, $500, $600, $1,000 a box, and there's no Caleb Williams autographs.
No chance to get it. Yeah.
Correct. And we don't even know who else they're doing this to. In this past year, in 23, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, these guys were off the market because Fanatics signed them exclusively. So the best autograph you can get in there was Anthony Richardson. But when you're spending $1,000 on a box, you kind of want the top dude.
Right.
And that didn't exist at the moment.
Yeah.
So just a unique scenario. I think that there's some warfare going on. Here's another little piece of inside information. Fanatics bought the factory that they make the cards in. And Panini makes their cards in the same factory. Guess what happens? Well, Panini, you're going to just have to wait till the end of the line because we got to get our stuff first.
Yeah.
So all of Panini's products continue to get pushed from their release date because they are treated like the stepchild. And
they're like tenants.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're tenants.
Instead of the owners. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really bad.
Wow.
So,
It's
tough.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
He didn't sign, explain it to me, his licensing deal or something like
that.
How does that affect? Yeah.
He did not sign with the NFLPA. All right, so on 46, let's age me for a second. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Barry Bonds didn't sign his Major League Baseball Players Association contract?
Oh, wow.
He wasn't in video games. He wasn't in certain things. He wasn't in products. So, strangely enough, there was a game called High Heat.
Yep.
It was a baseball game. And they took all of Barry's statistics and they put them to a white guy, okay? And the guy's name was John Dowd, if that meant anything to you.
Okay.
And so you had Barry Bonds as a white guy named John Dowd in the video game because he didn't sign the Players Association contract. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't use him on any likeness or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Marvin Harrison's going down that route. I have no clue what's going on. I mean, today's Friday, the day after. He's only been in the NFL one day.
Right.
By Monday, this might be solved. But at this very second, he is the only player out of the draft thus far that has not signed.
Imran Palladi with us. Of course, he hosts the True Sports Card Show on Saturdays. Which is the most popular right now? Baseball, football, basketball cards? How would you rank them? Or does it just depend on the time of year and whichever season we're in?
If it's in front of your face, you want it. Uh-huh. If it's, you know, sight unseen, it's just not there. I would tell you that with us, Sacramento being a one major sport city, Kings are always on.
Yeah.
And I would say that I think that the game of basketball has now turned into a 12-month sport. Everything from, I mean, like right now we've got the playoffs. That'll go till what? Early June.
Yep.
And then after that,
this year.
Then you've got the draft, and then you have Summer League, and then you have free agency.
It
never stops the entire year. I think that's a full year round. Football kind of stops after the Super Bowl because you don't see anything till actually like right now. So there's been a 2 month gap. So it's just one of those scenarios where I think that if it's in front of you locally, you're into it. I think the baseball is starting to see a little traction and excitement here, knowing that there's going to be the Sacramento A's, whatever they call themselves. So I just feel like traditionally in the United States, football is number one. It always will be. But worldwide, it's basketball by far.
Wow.
You wouldn't believe the amount of China interest in cards for basketball.
Wow. Because I know we've all been interested in a while. There was a time way back when where it was baseball cards and then,
other
sports.
I think they're traditional. I think that's why the sport is trying so hard to try to make themselves relevant with quickness. That's what the pitch clocks are for. That's why the, throw to first base one or two times, I think they're only allowed now to do. So they're
the
trying
to pickoffs,
the pickoffs.
Shifts and
They're trying to speed up the game and make it more interesting because the other sports are so fast paced and so And baseball, you're just sitting there waiting. Mm-hmm. So they're trying everything they can to promote the Acuñas and the Otanis of the world. So they're trying to keep up, but I think that they're about a decade too late because the attention is on football and basketball at the moment. But traditionalists, we're talking about people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, it's always going to be baseball until further notice.
Let's spin it forward to the NBA draft. A lot of people say it's not a strong draft. How do you think that'll impact the card market and the new sets coming out?
So check this. As a lifelong Kings fan,
yeah,
and my dad took me to the very first Kings game ever in Sacramento.
Wow.
Cal Expo 2, or was it? I don't remember where it was. So
Arco 1.
I mean, I have a picture with me and my dad. I was an eight-year-old with my little foam finger, the Sacramento Kings. That's why I'm excited to see LaSalle again, because LaSalle was on the court the first game that I ever watched in Sacramento. And I think that my Super Bowl, my NBA Finals every year for as a Kings fan has always been the NBA draft, right? Because that's the only thing I can look forward to. But I really haven't paid attention to much of the draft the last couple of years because the Kings are where they're at. You pay attention to Wemby, you pay attention to that. I don't think there's a generational talent. The one draft pick that everybody's talking about, this Sar kid from Australia, there's a couple others. I think the hot name that's going to come out is going to be Bronny. I think people are going to watch where Bronny gets picked up. I think he's going to be late second round. Although, as soon as he comes out, the value will be up there equivalent to some of the top draft picks because of the name. Mm-hmm. Period, end of story. Yeah. And LeBron has already said it many a times. Look, I want to play with my son. Period, end of story. If the Kings, look, LeBron's not coming to the Kings, but he might. And the best way to do it is instead of picking some Euro on the back end in the 50s, right, in the draft pick, if the Kings have a draft pick, I think they probably have something in the 50s or so.
13 or around.
No, but like but the second round.
Yeah, they got a couple second rounders.
I mean, who cares? Draft Bronny right there, hold his rights, and see what happens.
Yeah. It'd be, what, 43, 44 somewhere? Because we won the coin flip with the Warriors, right? So 13, 43.
There's not enough space on the roster to have a second rounder. That person's going to play for Stockton. We know that's going to happen. So why not just stash a Bronny and see what happens? Mm. What probably going to happen is he's going to say, don't anybody draft me. I'll pick my team that I'll go to. I'll make my money as endorsements.
Right.
And my daddy and I will play together at some place.
Yeah.
So I expect him to not want to play for anywhere that he drafts.
Gets drafted.
That LeBron wouldn't want to. But that I think that Bronny, even right now, his McDonald's All-American cards, the autograph ones are top dollar right now. $1,000 if you pull one.
Imran, you know, as a kid I was into it, and as a young adult I was into it, got away from it for a long time. Then when the pandemic hit, got back into it.
Yep.
So in the short time that I've been back into it, I've never seen anything like the excitement over Wemby right now, the Wemby hunting. How does that compare to what you've seen throughout your career?
So, been collecting cards since I was 8 years old, 46 now, so we're at 40, almost 40 years of collecting. And there was two hype cycles that I can tell you in basketball that I really remember well. Number one was LeBron.
Yep.
The LeBron stuff, the chosen one on the Sports Illustrated. Yeah. I mean, the kid truly at 16, 17, 18 years old was handling stuff so well as a youngster that you couldn't believe it. I mean, he had that Hummer fiasco. He was a 16-year-old with a new Hummer and all that stuff. But clearly, he was a generational talent that has held it all the way through. Next, hype-wise, was Zion.
Zion, yes.
Zion was the next group.
He brought the game back, didn't he?
And then he was pre-pandemic.
Right.
I mean, the guy was huge and athletic, and kid rips his shoe off of his foot and just doesn't even deal with it. I mean, he was insane. And injuries have sapped him, but he's still very popular, very successful, and when the Kings go 0-6 against his team, it's a little tough because I've seen the front row status of him whooping us. Yeah. And then finally, Wemby. And it's because he's just so unique. We talked about growing up, Magic Johnson at 6'9", backing people down and being a tall point guard, and it was amazing. If you look at what Wemby can do with the ball, it's Magic-esque in what he could do. Who's going to dribble through his leg twice, step back three at 7'3"? Don't even jump. Mm-hmm. You're not going to block him. Mm-hmm. The guy's at 9 feet in the air on his release point. And you got a guy that can hit threes. He's running the floor. He is an alien. He led the league in blocks with 3.5 blocks per game. I mean, if he wins Defensive Player of the Year, it would not be surprising. Gobert's probably going to win it. But This kid's 20 years old, playing in with in crazy expectations and delivering. So it really just comes down to, can these players handle the hype? And Wemby so far, absolute nails.
Aren't his just like his base cards are going for massive amounts
As an example, a Prism, 23 Prism base card. They were hovering during the season around $100. We're talking about nothing special. We're just regular base card. They still sit at about $70 to $80 as we speak at this moment. That's kind of wild.
That is.
And that's nothing. And what you should know is that the one of one, as in one in the world, it's called a Black Prism. It was pulled by a local collector here in Folsom.
Wow.
Got graded at PSA and got a 10.
Oh,
hey. Okay. And it's been defined that he got an offer of over $1 million and turned it down.
Turned it down.
What? Because it's going to be worth more.
He must have already have some money. Let's keep it real. Like somebody took.
Bye. If I had a card, bye.
A million?
I'll fly to you. Where do I need to go? Right. Bye.
People in Folsom, man. You know, the folks that live in Folsom got that golf money, man.
I don't know any of those people. And
Big M, I got a question, man, for a person like myself that's not even a novice. Just, you know, I like memorabilia compared to cards. And I had an opportunity to come out and visit you, and I picked up a jersey. And one of the things that I asked you but didn't get a good opportunity to kind of get clarification is JSA, PSA, and you talked about being graded. How does that work? Because I saw as I was reading the little authentication card or, you know, whatever in the jersey, it says, like, this person watched.
Yeah,
you know, Miguel Tejada signed this jersey. So how does that work? And do you fly those guys out? Like, how does that work to when you got a sports event like you got coming up the 17th, 18th, and 19th in May?
Yep.
Do you fly guys out to authenticate this stuff?
So check it. So on Saturday, the last Saturday, I had James Spence, the owner of James Spence Authentication,
JSA.
On the show, JSA.
Okay.
So we did an interview with him, and he recently sold to a larger company. So he's sitting happy right now, but he's staying on for the next 4 years. I don't know why he chose Miguel Tejada.
Because he's an Oakland A.
Well, let me just tell you, we had him coming to a show, Miguel Tejada. Do you remember when he got popped for the
airport?
He was arrested at the airport. Mm-hmm. He was coming to my show.
Right.
Oh, shit.
I'm not lying. He was coming to my show. So I get a message from his agent. He's like, I don't think Miguel's coming. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's signing tomorrow. And he's like, Google him. Miguel Tejada caught at the airport and arrested on his way to California. I was like, I think we have to postpone that signing. He eventually did come last May to the event. He couldn't have been nicer. Miguel was incredible. The answer is yes. Not only do we fly the players there, but we fly the authenticators there. Mm. And the authenticators, luckily for me, James Spence's sister, Karen, she's my go-to. She's local. She lives in Citrus Heights area. Mm-hmm. So she just drives over to see the event, and she physically watches a Kyle Draper or a Whitey Gleason sign autograph, and she goes, hey, that's a real autograph because I saw it. Here's a sticker saying that I witnessed this happening. The other option is it gets authenticated in the sense of, okay, based on all of our research, based on our history, based on the provenance of how this all laid out, we likely believe that this is a real autograph. So there's opinion-based, and then there's I-saw-it-with-my-own-eyes-based.
Gotcha.
And so that's what the witness ones are more valuable because the employee saw them signing at the time.
Mm.
And they can actually tell you on reference on their website what time and date and where they signed it, so that way there's no question about it.
Yep. Gotcha. They got receipts.
They got receipts.
Tell us about the big event coming up May 17th, 18th, 19th. I know you're constantly adding people to it.
Yeah, breaking news here on the Drive Guys.
Yeah, what you got?
So we have an incredible lineup. It's a three-day event, May 17th through the 19th. Mm-hmm. It's at Jones Hall at the fairgrounds in Roseville. 17th is a preview day. We have 90 tables of baseball card, sports card vendors, memorabilia, etc. So if you collect cards or memorabilia, this is a place to be. We have, like I said, 90 tables. We have autographs throughout the weekend, autograph guests. Our lineup includes Ricky Henderson, Dennis Rodman, Johnny Manziel.
That's pretty good, right? If I could just stop right there.
Nope, I'm not gonna, don't stop me. Randy Johnson, Vladimir Guerrero Sr., We've got Dave Stewart, who was with us last year. We have Malik Monk. And and Dave was talking about it this week. He said, this is the first public appearance of Monk. Kings fans, show up. Show up on Saturday.
Yeah.
Let Malik know how you feel.
Yeah.
And Malik, he did the event with us last year. I'm telling you, man, I get chills thinking about it. He was holding my kid. He was signing autographs. He was talking. This guy is one of the original nicest guys
Very
I've
authentic.
Ever worked with. He yeah. is so nice and so gracious and so awesome. And I just feel like this is our opportunity to really show out as Kings fans how much we love him. Remember the Chris Webber, let's mow your lawn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know the Maloofs don't do much anymore, but they were willing to mow lawns at that time. But what I'm getting at is, like, this is our chance to go out and show Malik what's up. So even right. if you don't buy the ticket to get a Malik Monk autograph, show up, pay your $15 to come into the entry fee, and let's hear it. Let's light the beam. Let's talk about this. And then we have John Taylor, Tom Rathman, and Michael Cooper is signing on Sunday.
Hall of Famer.
Coopaloo. Yes, wow.
It's his first public appearance since he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. So this is the first one. And here's the breaking news on the Rise. Excuse me. I almost said Rise Guys.
That's all right.
What I meant was Drive Guys.
That's not all right. It's the Drive.
Yeah.
That's my old show.
Right. We got breaking news, Jay.
When it breaks, we have it first. It's Sacktown Sports Breaking News.
As of an hour ago, I signed the 1989 National League MVP for the San Francisco Giants.
Ooh. Will the Thrill.
No, incorrect.
Oh, Kevin Mitchell.
That's yes. Kevin Mitchell.
I'm sorry. Kevin Mitchell.
Fair-handed catch.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So Kevin Mitchell will be joining us Friday evening. He'll be signing autographs starting at 5 o'clock. So we have Kevin Mitchell joining us.
Where'd you find Kevin at?
Oh, I just called him on my Rolodex.
I like how you're going there, man.
Today or yesterday was the anniversary of the bare-handed
catch. Was it 2 days ago?
Yes.
So we got Kevin Mitchell.
Sound like the Drive Guys need to be out there.
And here's the thing about it, too. If your people buy the three-day pass, which is $30, that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they get a free John Taylor autograph on Sunday.
Wow.
So
think
about that. For $30, you get the 3 days of the event to go to, and then you get a free John Taylor autograph. And John's a friend of ours. I don't know what it is. I've been very lucky to be a young man now being able to hang out with my heroes and build friendships and be on the show with Kyle Draper and Whitey Gleason.
Yeah.
Like, I'm amongst royalty. I feel
good
about
myself. Big time.
I feel like it. I feel like it.
All right. So don't forget tomorrow night at the Galleria store. Right.
Right.
The trade night.
To find us, it's real simple. We're not too far from Sephora, so follow your nose when you feel that pungent perfume smell. It's not too far from us, but we're by the Apple store. We're by Gucci. We're right next door to Tiffany & Company. Okay. We're in the high rent district.
You're on that level there.
Yeah, on Draper's side.
Yeah.
When I say high rent district, I literally mean it.
Okay.
We have a 3,500 square foot place. We're going to have tables out for people to come and bring their cards.
What time tomorrow?
Tomorrow at 6, but we have Tank Thompson signing at 5. So LaSalle will hang out for a couple hours. Yeah. He's great. Love that guy. So we have that event tomorrow at the Galleria.
He's the one that told me that the reason the Kings had those powder blue uniforms way back when was because they were supposed to be navy blue, and Rawlings made them and sent them out, and they were the wrong color. And the Kings said, oh, these are the wrong color. And Rawlings said, oh, keep those, and then we'll make you the right ones.
Yeah.
And the Kings said, oh, if we don't have to pay for them, we'll just keep these.
Keep them also.
I don't know, but that's what he told me. He said that's why the Kings used to have those powder blues.
So the last thing I'll leave you with is that we have the website sacautographexpo.com that has all the information for the May Expo. I know that Kyle has talked about being there. I think he's going to be a special guest. We're working out what his responsibilities will be that day.
Yeah, let's do it.
Kyle Draper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have Kyle out there.
You're trying to classy up the joint. That's what it is.
Listen, when you get Drapes in the building, sheesh.
I mean, magic happens.
Listen, we're going to confirm Drapes in the building, and I even will not raise the price of admission.
Wow.
Now, but I don't want to be Friday at like 4 in the afternoon. When's the big time? Like, I want to be there with Randy Johnson, Malik. What's that, Saturday at 2 or 3?
Are you saying Friday at 4 o'clock is not a great time?
Uh-oh.
What time is it right now? What day is it?
Right.
Friday.
We're going to be.
Oh, so you're saying don't be like me.
No, I'm saying, I'm saying, you save the best for last, big fella.
Okay.
You know?
Saturday, 9 p.m. when the door is closed.
Hey, I see Saturday entrance is $15.
Correct.
So that's going to be the prime day, too.
Well, that's we knew that we were going to have you on Saturday.
Right. Okay. All right. I mean, so I'm worth an extra $5. All right. Now, this is awesome. I'm looking at the website right now. These are Hall of Famers, great players that you have coming.
Frank Thomas, oh yeah, she'll love it too.
He
I'm gonna have him sign a bunch of stuff and then add the inscription. She'll love it too, because that's a quote that he's very used to.
Let me slip in a jersey for you so Frank can sign it for me.
Yeah.
You're on the air tomorrow here, right?
I am.
Tomorrow morning.
Our show every Saturday, 10 a.m. And just to let you know, we did a little bit of research, and I can confirm it. We are the only sports card and memorabilia show on the radio in any of the top 50 national stations.
How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at
good
that.
To see you.
Great to see you, too. Thanks so much for letting me spend some time
with
you guys.
Absolutely. We enjoyed it. Let's do it again. Thanks for coming in. Stick around when we come back. Of the teams that finished behind the Kings in the West, which scares you the most? Drive Guys rolling on this Friday. Sacktown Sports. We know that last night the Lakers were pushed to the brink of elimination by the Denver Nuggets, and we know that D'Angelo Russell was not happy. He didn't score a point. At one point, he was seen during a timeout, disengaged from the team. Didn't want to participate in the timeout.
Yep.
He's on the bench looking at his phone. Kyle Draper says, that's it. I don't want him around for the next game.
Yeah, I can't have him there.
But Darvin Ham is going with the same guys who got them there. I'm not changing my starting lineup. Now, down 3-0 against the Nuggets a year ago, Ham took D'Angelo Russell out of the starting lineup in Game 4, which L.A. lost. This time, Russell went scoreless, 0-for-7 shooting in Game 3, disengaged from the team in the fourth quarter, but Coach Ham sticking with his point guard.
Okay. All right.
Now he's still around, starting.
I guess the Lakers are such a soap opera right now, and you want to minimize distractions as much as possible. You got to handle it internally. Like, you got to do something, if you're – and maybe Darvin Ham is at a point where we got one game left. This is our last gasp. We need all hands on deck. And you put winning above, the culture of the team and things like that. But I don't know how you can trust D'Angelo Russell going into Game 4. He sounds like he's already checked out.
Yeah. I don't think there's any good option for Darvin Ham, right? There really isn't
a good option.
Yeah. So the coach says, you have to trust your players. Just believe in them. And when they see that belief, then they tend to perform at a high level. So good luck. But I think Darvin Ham's going to end up as a fall guy if he isn't being set up for that already there. But I don't really think ultimately it's his fault. That roster is just flawed.
Yeah, it is. And, let's not forget, too, everybody wants to blame Darvin Ham. I get it. But they went to the Western Conference Finals last year. Was he an awful coach then? He was good enough to get you there. And so I think a lot of finger pointing is being blamed at Darvin Ham. The problem that I have with Darvin Ham and where he finds himself in this pickle is, once your star players aren't backing you anymore, Anthony Davis, you've sort of lost the team.
Yeah.
You lost the locker room. Mm-hmm. You may be a good coach, but if you don't have the belief of the locker room,
there's no foundation anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so he may get another chance. I look at a guy like Adrian Griffin in Milwaukee, same thing. He might be a good coach, but I don't think he had Dame on board. And if you don't have your best players on board, you're not going to have success.
Speaking of coaches, have you noticed George Karl is going back and forth on Twitter with Laker fans?
I can't, I'm not a George Karl guy. I can't stand George Karl.
These Laker trolls. Like, you're George Karl. Why are you engaging?
No, he's a troll himself. That's why. You should look at some of his tweets, Whitey, outside of this. The disrespect towards Carmelo Anthony. He always has an opinion on something, and it's usually negative, I'm not a George Karl fan, right? And I used to be when he was coach of the Sonics. Mm-hmm. I was a big Sonics fan in the mid to early 90s when he had GP and Sean Kemp and Detlef. I was a big Sonics fan, big fan of George Karl. But as he's gotten older, seems like he's getting more ornery and on social media. And so it's hard to watch.
Did you know when Coach Karl was here, that did not go well, and he wrote a book And there were a couple of early releases that media people in Sacramento got. I did not get one.
Okay.
But the edition that came out deleted all of that because of his, like, his non-disclosure with the team. I've never seen
what he wrote about that.
Yeah,
huh?
I know they're out there somewhere. You can't buy them. But
the early edition, it was in there.
Yes, there was more in there than was actually in what was actually published.
I wonder who has it. Tony Harvey, maybe? Our boy Tony Harvey? Or
I think Sean Cunningham may
have
one.
Sean Cunningham might have one. Yeah. May have to check that out. Yeah. He's just.
But it's funny on his bio because he lists some of the teams that he coached for. He says Sonic, Nugget. We
don't mention the Kings.
No, no.
Wow.
Or the Cavs or the Warriors. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But
yeah.
I just don't understand. You're George Karl. Why do you care what Laker fans are saying?
You know, he's sitting at home right now, just, you know, in his chair, you know, warming up some hot milk, warm milk, and just a bitter old man he's coming off right now, man. And so, yeah, I used to be a fan, not anymore.
All right. Are there any teams that finished behind the Kings that worry you
all
next
of
year?
All right. Right. Yeah, we're going to get into all of them.
That's Emil Fragoso points out that we have something of a Debo update to pass along here. You may already know this if you follow Diana Russini on Twitter. Quote, I spoke to Debo Samuel on the phone, asked his reaction to the 49ers drafting of his potential replacement and the reports that they explored trading him. Debo said, quote, I know what's going on, but it is what it is. I'm good staying with them. I'm chilling. So you're not taking the bait. Good for him. Ooh, Debo, they're replacing you. And they might trade you. What do you think? I know what's going on. I'm good. I'm chilling.
Is that the vibe you think it is? Or is, I know what's going on. I know this is my last year. You know, like you singing it and making it all seem all rosy and everything. I took it as, yep, he knows his time is almost up.
Yeah, I'd
in
agree
San
with
Francisco.
That.
Like, yeah. This is, you know, quite possibly his final year.
I think either way, he's fine with it. He understands it. I don't think he's like, yeah, what's going on? He's just like, I know.
So they
up.
Communicated to them, it seems like.
Maybe. Right. But I think either way, he recognizes what's going on. And
yeah, and I would imagine Debo knows it's a business. He knows, you know, the complexities of the cap situation, and they got to pay Ayuk, and he knows the deal. He
a guy like him, it's like Eric Armstead. If he wanted, and you can't blame him for not doing it, but – hey, we'll keep you if you want to take, like, way less money.
And Armstead said,
okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's not like we don't want you around, but we just can't afford you. So.
How does that make you feel, though, that, and I know we're way away from this time next year, but this is Debo's, might be his last stand in San Francisco.
The one thing I'll say about that is, who knows, because I remember Garoppolo, that one year we were
sure he was gone.
He was gone, and he ended up starting the next year. You know,
so even don't close
said,
the door yet.
Goodbye, everybody. He was saying goodbye to the reporters, so you just never know.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And then we'll see. It just depends on if Debo's good with it and he can play through it fine. And if he can, it's a distraction, then you got an issue.
Mm. Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I'm watching this basketball game. Look at the score, Whitey.
Why is this game on so early again?
The Bucks came back. I guess John Hollinger, your boy, he tweeted
my
this
guy.
Out. Your guy. He tweeted out that the Pacers did not want to be relegated to NBA TV, so the alternative was an ESPN triple header, basically, and that's why it's an early 2:30 start, 5:30 Eastern time, because they have a 5:30, an 8, and then a 10:30.
How do they get to make that decision? The team.
That's a great question, John Hollinger. But I would imagine if you're the NBA – you probably want it on ESPN, right? Like, instead of being at even though NBA team, but you want the marquee
I think you get
spot.
More eyeballs, yeah.
Yeah, I think a Friday, 5:30 Eastern, I think you get more eyeballs on that.
Now,
on
you
ESPN.
Think Kings fans should pull for the Pacers?
No, why are you putting words in my mouth?
Well, no, I thought that's what you
no,
said
I'm
earlier.
No, I'm saying
I'm not
an underdog team. Orlando, I said.
Yeah.
I said, why not Tyrese and the Pacers? And you know, I know we talked about this earlier. If Tyrese advances, those trolls will come out the woodwork. See?
Yeah,
y'all
should have
kept Tyrese. Look at it. Which is unfortunate because I do want the kid to succeed and do well.
Mm-hmm. I know I've mentioned it a couple times. We'll get to the teams that finished behind the Kings we're most concerned about.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
need to know this. Top of the hour. Drapes.
State of the Union.
State of the Kings.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I got you.
State of the Kings address coming up top of the
hour. How about the state of the Eagles, who just made a trade to get up on the board?
So, oh, we moved up?
Yeah, go ahead and get your eyes on that. Peel your eyes on that screen.
I'm watching it. We moved up? I would, hey, I might do another defensive back if I'm Philly. I might, or an offensive lineman. It'll be interesting to see which direction they go. But
so this is pick 40. They moved up to pick 40?
Yeah.
Yep. According to Ian Rappaport.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know why they're showing this guy, Braden Fisk.
That's who just got drafted by the Rams.
Oh, that's who just got drafted. Yeah, all right. Okay. All right. I wasn't sure if the Eagles picked him or what. All right. This is exciting here, right? We're all waiting on pins and needles, seeing what our Philadelphia Eagles
are.
All
that commercial. Excited.
Commercial.
Yeah. I mean, my boy Dan Campbell and company.
How do you have that there so quickly, bro?
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Ashley has been hanging on. What's up, Ashley? Thanks for hanging on this Friday. What can we do for you?
Of course, not much. I was just calling to talk some Kings. Originally, I called before the interview you guys had just done. And you guys were kind of talking about like market sizes. And it was kind of when you guys brought up smaller market teams and who we should be rooting for. When I was thinking about that, I was kind of also thinking, what do you think that we can or need to do in order to make Sacramento a larger market? Is that something that we can do? Is that something that comes with winning? Is that, because I mean, I never really thought of Kansas City with the Chiefs as like a big market, but now that they're starting to win, that market seems to be coming a little bit and like growing. Is that something that we need as like to grow the market? Is it going to be followed by winning? Is it going to be followed by like getting more people talking and more media coverage? And what do you think that looks like?
Thanks for the call and thanks for hanging. You know, it's different in the NFL because it's easier for even the smaller market teams to be competitive. But did you, I read this in the, I think it was in the B, you know, there's some people say that the A's coming to Sacramento, it's part of some movement where eventually we're not going to have like Sacramento and the Bay Area. We're all going to be part of some huge,
one big
super region.
Nah.
That some people are actually planning for that.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't. So
all
would
Golden
we,
State?
Right. Golden State? Like, would we be,
we'd be
a
like
suburb
part of, the Bay,
of
like the
San Francisco?
The Northern California. I
don't know how people would feel about that.
Like, yeah, I don't think a lot of people here don't want that.
Yeah,
other
they
that,
don't want that.
I don't know. Sacramento, how do we become a bigger, more relevant
think,
is just by winning.
Yeah, winning, and I think by bringing the A's here. You know, we talked about, you know, it over the last couple of months. You look at major markets, they're not one-team markets. And so sports teams are an indication of you growing as a city. If you can actually keep the A's here, then you got to start bringing in the industry and things like that. Yeah. You know, having you know, Fortune 500 companies relocate here and everything like that. But I think having a second sports team would help do that.
Tomorrow's a big protest.
Oh, that's
Health Park.
Really? I was thinking of taking the kids tomorrow, but I think I was going to skip that. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to get to the phones here.
Yeah.
But we got breaking news.
All right.
The Eagles, according to Burt Breer, traded up to 40 and took Iowa defensive back Cooper DeJean. Is that how you say it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Cooper DeJean.
So they're definitely fortifying that secondary.
Yes.
Good move.
Great move, right, Jay? Let's
Gordon
keep it real.
Everybody say.
If the Niners did this, we'd be, you know, bang, bang, Niner gang. And so the Eagles doing that? Look at the Eagles fans right there. They know. The secondary is no longer an issue in Philadelphia.
Fortifying it, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Why he's not a believer? Why he's not a believer?
No, he is. He's nervous now. He's nervous. I need to see the picks for the NFC Championship now. I think the line just moved on the Eagles. We might be the favorites now.
Yeah, two rookie members of the secondary. What could go wrong? Steven on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Steven. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
Good. Thank you
What's
for
up,
hanging
man?
On. We appreciate it.
Oh, man. No problem, man. That's called dedication, fam. You know what I mean? That's called dedication. I love you guys, man. You
love
guys
it.
Are a part of my life, man, every day. So draft-related kind of a topic, right? Mm-hmm. So I was in a group home when I was younger, right? So long story short, my favorite draft class was the 2006 NFL draft. That Reggie Bush draft, that Mario Williams, you know what I mean, going number one over Reggie Bush, the hype behind all of that, Lendale White, Dwayne Jarrett, who else came out that draft? Matt Leinart. Dante Whitner, Vernon Davis. Manny Lawson. Manny Lawson, when he before he got into trouble and stuff like that. But my main point was that's the main draft that kind of like got me really hooked. You know, I watched all the USC games.
Yeah.
That USC Texas game was probably hands down as much as I do not want to say it. Don't cut me. I know you're a Texas fan, Jay, but man, that game was really good. My question, I'm gonna cut it like this. What was your guys' favorite NFL draft that maybe you grew up on, the one that kind of got you started into football, you know, the big hype player that you kind of saw, you know, because mine was Reggie Bush, obviously, with probably a lot of other people.
Steven.
That's my question. Thank you, man.
Thank you. And by the way, that draft he's talking about, number seven, was Michael Huff. Rumpf was your guy, right?
Oh, yeah,
Jay?
Rumpf.
Not Michael Rumpf. Huff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have an answer to that?
Nah, that's a tough one. You know, I'd have to go way back, you know, and date myself and age myself. I just remember the Cowboys, which I was a fan growing up when I was a kid. After the Herschel Walker trade, you know, able to get Emmitt Smith. I need to look at what year that was. It wasn't the Troy Aikman trade, because Aikman, that team went 1-15 with him as a starter. But that 1990 NFL draft, I think it was, maybe 91. I just remember the Cowboys and what they were able to do. No, not the 90. Must have been 91 draft, or maybe even 89. But whatever that year was, the Cowboys. Russell Maryland. Remember Russell Maryland?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Alvin Harper, the wide receiver, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big-time draft that I liked back then.
I didn't used to pay that much attention to the draft until I started on radio. And then I had to. And I was in the Bay Area. So the one that I really remember is that 85 draft.
Ooh.
And then you had Bruce Smith was the first pick.
Yeah.
Chris Dolman was the fourth pick. You had Al Toon was the 10th pick. But what I remember, of course, is the 40, you know, I'd been studying, and it was different then. You didn't have all the internet stuff. And I'd been reading about this guy, Jerry Rice. And the 49ers to get Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it, because I was like announcing the 49ers have picked Jerry Rice. And I was on a morning show and people were going, who?
Who's that?
And
right.
I was like, no, I think this guy's pretty good. You know, we had no idea. But I remember that clearly. It's like, no, the 49ers really like this guy.
Was, yeah.
Who's Jerry Rice? Yeah.
All right. And that turned out pretty good for them.
Did you see last night? Were you watching when the 49ers picked? I was watching the ABC one. And I don't know if they're all the same, but they showed a 49er fan sitting there in like his, you know, his costume, and they announced the pick, the receiver, and the 49er fan, the camera's right in his face. He goes,
Who?
Did you see that?
I didn't see it. Yeah. I didn't see it. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
They're right in the guy's face. What? No, boo.
Another great first round pick.
Yeah.
For the Niners. Okay.
So you never really know.
You never know. And I've been seeing it, you know, just the reactions from fans, you know. Remember when they used to do it in New York and Jets fans? Every year it seemed like would boot a pick. Like, this guy, who's that? You know, and so you never know, man. You never know.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get maybe some boos. I don't know, probably some cheers, because that's all part of the State of the Union address, and Kyle Draper has his State of the Kings address.
Yes.
Is there anything we need to know about this or anything you want to share with us that – what went into preparing it?
I know you've
been sitting on this for days. I
looked at it honestly, the roster, the future, the picks, flexibility, and you know what I'm about to deliver will give Kings fans hope. How about that?
We could all use some of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Drape's State of the Kings address is next, right here on Sacktown Sports.
Did you miss any part of our live local shows? Don't worry, you never have to miss them again. Check out SackdownSports.com and search our podcast page and play our shows when you want. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross, Styles and Watkins, and The Drive Guys. Plus, other podcasts.